At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Deadline day is at an end, everyone, and we want to talk about all the action that did go down, most specifically the trade of Tomas Hertl, as well as Anthony Duclair, Kaapo Kähkönen, and Nikita Ochocek, as well as Radim Šimek from the Barracuda. So we sat down just after the deadline, and we heard from Mike Greer and David Quinn, and this is what we had to say. All right, it is deadline day. We are on the other side. We've got Brett Hedekin, Drew Remenda, Dan Ruzanowski, Randy Hahn. It has been a very, very busy day. Hedy, I'll start right off with you because you've been there. You've been traded yourself. You've been in the dressing room on days where these deadline deals have gone down. The flurry of emotion going through everyone's head right now. Just love to hear about it from your perspective, and then, especially just your thoughts on Tomas Hertl. And guys, feel free to jump in at any point on whatever Hedy says. We don't need to have me be the lone moderator here. I'm sure we all have various things we want to say about this, but Hedy, I'm just going to start with you.
Wait a minute. Sorry, Hedy. Sorry. Ted, you can't bury the lead. What the hell's Randy doing right now?
he is actively multitasking in the best way possible, walking his dogs there and talking to all of us. I can't think of any better way to spend a lovely afternoon.
You know me well enough that this is how I deal with emotional days. I take the dogs out for a walk, and it's an emo day.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Eddie.
No, it is an emotion. It is an emotional day. And I think as a player, you know what's special about our sport is that, you know, in order for you to win a championship, you can't do it alone. And you need to lean on the guys around you, lean on your teammates to win. And that culture gets integrated into that fabric of the team. And so when days like this come along and guys that have been a part of this organization, good personalities within that room, you know, talking about Tomas Hertl here today has been a huge part of this team and organization from the very first game that he played to, you know, fun must be always to where he is today, leaving to one of our competitors and one of our rivals in the Vegas Golden Knights. But as a player, you feel like, you know, a sadness in you because you're losing a buddy. And a buddy that no longer is going to be in that locker room and part of the fabric of that team. And so these days are always hard. And even though we always say, yeah, it's part of the game and, you know, you got to be used to this. Yeah, you are. It is part of the game. But we're human too. And we have these friendships that, you know, no longer will be the same because that guy is not in your locker room. So it was a tough day, I'm sure, in that locker room. I'm sure it was quiet. As David Quinn reflected on today, it was a quiet day in that room. Mm-hmm. I can picture myself in that room, not only the guy that everybody's coming over to say goodbye to, but then also, you know, guys that you're saying goodbye to going out the door and moving on to a different team. So I've been in both situations. None make it any easier. I think for the Sharks, these are just things that they've now had to do to move this thing in the direction needed to go. But Tomas Hertl, I wish him all the luck and, you know, go get a Stanley Cup because there's no better feeling than sipping from the chalice at the in the locker room when everybody's cleared out and it's just the players that you win with. That's a special feeling that I hope he gets to feel someday.
You know, if there is a human factor to all of this is that Hertl played 700 plus games with the San Jose Sharks and was around for some of the biggest moments in franchise history. All around great guy. Everything that you're saying, Hedy, about his being a leader. But also the human side of this is that Mike Greer got him to a team that has an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. And that means you're taking care of the player and you're telling future members of the NHL fraternity that the Sharks organization is a fair organization and is a good place to play. And I think that's another thing that shouldn't be lost.
But conversely, guys, we've been on the other side of that as well. We've been the team and trying to get that next piece. Hey, that feeling's way different in that room as Tomas Hertl walks in. Doesn't that, from a player point of view, look at the management, the coaches going, okay, we're in.
Well, yes. I'm thinking about that feeling of, holy cow, we got this player. Then we got this player. And then, oh, by the way, at the end here, they get Tomas Hertl. You know, those are three pieces that they're adding to that locker room that can bolster this team that's already understands and knows what it takes to win. They felt it, what it felt last year to go all the way and get to the top of the mountain. And you could see them already firing on all cylinders at the start of the year, but you can see the fatigue now had set in with the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, but now the cavalry, the cavalry is coming. And I think this is an organization that knows you only get so many kicks at the can here. And right now they've got an opportunity to go win another one.
In terms of momentous days in franchise history, just because this seems like, now that there are no more retention spots left, but you know, I suppose there's a future where Logan Couture could be traded. I don't know, but we've now seen Brent Burns. We've now seen Erik Karlsson. We've seen Timo Meier. We have now seen the Tomas Hertl trades. I mean, where does this one rank? Because I think we all felt going into the offseason last year was like, okay, what happens over the next 12 months is going to dictate a lot of what happens in the next decade of this team. And it started with, you know, the Timo Meier trade and then Erik Karlsson. And now we are at the point where they've traded Tomas Hertl.
Oof, it's a great question.
It's a moment. I mean, just the last 12 months, I mean, it's just been, and even before that with Brent Burns, but I mean, it's been nonstop.
Here's how I look at it, guys. And I'll put it in I'll use a different metaphor. For about 20 years, the Sharks had one of the nicest houses on the block. There was always one house that was a little nicer at the top of the hill. And that was the team that won the Stanley Cup in all those years when the Sharks were a contender. And you paint it the next year, maybe upgrade the appliances, change the carpet out, try and spruce it up, and stay one of the nicest houses on the block. But at the end of it, you realize that the only way to be the nicest house on the block is to renovate. And you have to go down to the studs. And that's what Mike Greer is doing here. He is tearing this franchise, this team, down to the studs. Now, he's also wisely building a little guest house in the back with players like Eklund and Zetterlund, Granlund. He's got Thrun. He's got Ferraro. He's got Sturm. He's got some others. And he can live in that guest house while he's rebuilding the main house. But the main house won't really take shape until Will Smith's here, Quentin Musty's here, Philip Biefield's here, Shakir Mukhmudulin's here, till a franchise goalie is here, whoever that is. And that's what's going to take between now and having the nicest house on the block. But I like the steps he's taking, and I think it will lead to having a real good shot of having that house on the hill.
I love that. I love that reference, Randy.
We're
and
done.
You know, related to that. No, I was just saying, I love that reference. It was really good. But the other part of it is you got to bring everything up to spec, up to code. And that's what Mike Greer's doing, too. You got to make sure the wiring's right. You got to make sure that the infrastructure's right. And you got the guys living over in the guest house. But I think the idea is to get at least the beginnings before it's fully outfitted to move into the main house as soon as possible. And you look at, you know, some of the players that Randy referenced, and now the new kid, David Edstrom, whom I'm hearing really good things about. This kid Thompson, who plays on defense, is going to go to the CUDA, right-handed shooting defenseman, 21 years old, another guy that has a good upside. So what you're hopeful for there is that when Mike does bring everything up to code, that the wiring works perfectly, when it's time to flip the lights on, these guys can hit the ice running.
But let me just add to this, if you want to keep using this metaphor, is that you don't have people coming over to your house. You're not getting people to pay to come into your house to watch you build it. You are with the San Jose Sharks. Our fans, obviously, are the most important thing to our organization when it comes to the support we get and, of course, the financial aspect of it as well. And we have seen over the last few years, guys, that there are fans that are sticking with us, but I understand the fans that aren't right now. So you can't rebuild forever. There's got to be an end date where you are handing over the keys, say, here it is. Well, so do what? How long do our fans stay with us? How long do they understand? And did today help with our fans? Do they see now? Well, yeah, that's starting to come along now. They're going to start building really soon here. That's my question.
Well, I think they see it as a cleaning of the house. And that's what I've been hearing today. The Sharks are cleaning house. Okay, fair enough. That's the perception of some part of the fan base. But along with that cleaning the house has been the gradual acquisition of talent, like some of the players I mentioned. And the Sharks are going to draft high. They might draft number one overall, and that will make a big splash. But, you know, to expect – the Sharks just can't say, we're going to have a lineup that's going to kind of be like Thornton, Marlowe, Pavelski, Boyle, Vlasic. You know, we can't that can't be promised, but at least you can show soon, hopefully, a blueprint.
LA missed the playoffs 7 straight years. Detroit is going on 8 this year. They're finally getting to that point. That's the standard method of making this work. And the other part that's interesting that, you know, that Randy's bringing up is that you have to know exactly where in the process you are. And I know it's going to be 5 years this year, but realistically, this is the end of year 1 of the actual rebuild.
Well, here's my question, though, because the Hurdle trade, I don't know that any of us saw coming. I knew that the team had cap space going into this year, which I assumed would be used to take on bad contracts to acquire more capital for the future, more prospects. But now with this much cap space that they have, I think more than we expected, does that accelerate things? I think that's a big question for me.
Well, I don't know. I think, first of all, if I can pipe in a little bit, is when you think back of when Mike Greer took over, he got it late summer, right, when he got hired, and he only really didn't have much time to prepare for his first draft. Last year was his first real draft, and this year will be his, I would say, technically his second full draft, even though, like we mentioned, the first year. But, you know, some of the pieces have worked out, I think, Drew, and some, I think, you know, you're still kind of in a waiting process. I think the fans know that, you know, we had a lot of years of success, and I would imagine, like anybody, they're frustrated, but I think they're also hoping to get back to that one day where we can raise the Stanley Cup as a team and as an organization and as a city. That's our goal. That's everybody's goal. So keeping that in our minds and knowing that you're going to have a couple of tough years and some tough years, like you guys just mentioned, on the Detroits of the world and teams that have rebuilt. But, you know, we have seen some strides with some of the young players this year. I think Zetterlin is one of the ones that comes to mind. Zadina is a guy. Mook Madulin is a player that I really like what I've seen so far. Mackenzie Blackwood. These are some of the cornerstones, along with the guys like Granlund and guys like Nico Sturm and Luke Cunningham and some of these players that can stabilize with the veterans until some of these new players come in the mix. So I guess to put your point, Drew, is pain is hard. Pain before the gain sometimes is, you know, what Patrick Waugh said yesterday morning before the game. And that's kind of what we're feeling right now. We've got some pain, but hopefully we're going to get a lot of gain here with some of these draft choices and some of these young prospects.
It seems longer, though. And Mike, as you said, Randy and Brett, Mike already was very honest about this at that fan event a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, where he said, this is it. This is your, we're just at the beginning when asked, where are we in the rebuild? But it seems longer because this is now fourth year?
Five.
Fifth year. Five years now. So it seems longer, right? But they haven't started, you know, they hadn't started the teardown until really last year a little bit, but this year for sure.
The Eric Carlson trade really was the first big signal, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and Timo.
Yeah. But Timo, when you look at what Mike has done with the trades,
yeah,
when you look at what he's got back, he's done a hell of a job. Potential is something you haven't done yet, but potentially when you look at the players and the quality and what the rest of the league is saying, the scouts are saying, and the analysts that know about talent that's not in the league, Mike's done a really good job.
But
that's,
I mean, look at just start with the retention of salaries. I mean, look at the numbers that he's been able to come up with. That's a win for the organization.
It's all, there's no crystal ball. You have to give yourself as much opportunity to develop big time talent. And Greer has said as much. We all know that. I mean, look at Philip Zadina. He's a guy who had very, very high draft status, hasn't been able to find it. We've seen a lot from him as of late. You would love to see that turn into something, but that's what Greer's trying to do. He's trying to give himself as many options as possible to develop the guys that are going to be the future stars of the Sharks. And that there's only a couple ways to do that. Trading Carlson, trading Meyer, trading Hurdle, Brent Burns, going back to that one as well. I mean, this, you know, Randy, to talk about taking it down to the studs, there's only one way to take it down to the studs.
The only studs are left are us.
How long have you had that holstered?
I've had that holstered for a long time. I've been waiting to use it.
Hey, to keep the construction vernacular going, you nailed it.
Flush it down the toilet.
So what about from here to the end of the year? I mean, this team is riding a 9-game winless streak. There have been some good efforts along the way, but now they have been given a very, very clear signal of what the rest of the year is going to look like. How does the team respond to that? How do they forget about it? Does this mean we are looking to see Thomas Bortolo is back up. We got to see him and he scored a goal. Are we expecting to see more Mook Madulin? Are we expecting to see more prospects coming up from the Barracuda? I mean, there's still a ways to go here. The last game of the season isn't until April 18th.
There's a couple of ways you can go about it. And I think the answer to your question, Ted, is yes, we're going to see a lot more of these guys with the team. One theory is you could just say, hey, we're 0-0 now with the team we've got. Let's see how we do the rest of the year. The other way is to say pack up and move to Florida because you know there's no reason to even be here. And that, of course, is not what anybody is going to take. These guys have pride. They're playing for an opportunity to be with a very special build of an organization, and they want to make sure that they're part of that. Or on the other hand, maybe they're playing for an opportunity to get a chance somewhere else. So there's a lot to play for. This is their livelihood. It's not like they're going to give up on each other, but they're just going to have to forge ahead and do the best they can.
Well, let me jump in there because I think, Dan, when you really look at this situation for some of these young players that are getting an opportunity, Thomas Bortolo, for instance, or Henry Thrun that continues to get ice time, Mook Madulin, if they call him up, you got 20 games left here of the season. I mean, you've definitely got to take advantage of this opportunity. You can't go out there and think, the team's made a decision to rebuild and or whatever that looks like from the exterior or even inside. You've got to take this as a professional athlete to go in there and enjoy the last 19, 20 games of the season to be able to get in there, roll your sleeves up, work on your game, be a pro, and show that you can play at this level. I mean, this is an opportunity that some of these guys might never get again. This is a great opportunity to get in there and show what you got.
100%.
I think. How does Quinn use that to his advantage? How does he lean on that?
I was going to say that Brett and Randy, I think you guys talked about it last night, was the fact of what the coaching staff has done in a very tough year with only, 15 wins, that these guys have kept playing. For the most part, there's a handful of games that we could all talk about like, oh, they didn't even show up tonight. But that's a very, very small sample of the entire season. Their try has been there. Their effort has been there. Their energy, for the most part, has been there. But I like what Brett said. And I go back to what Igor Larionov once told me back in 93, 94. You don't work hockey, you play hockey. It's still got to be fun to come to the rink. And I think the coaches have been able to do that. They haven't grind these guys down to just the nub, right? I mean, it's still an energetic room, still got some laughs out there. Brett, you and I get to be on the bench and we see it on the bench. They're still lively. So I like what you said there, that it's still got to be fun to come to the rink. And I think the coaches deserve a pat in the back for still making it fun to come to the rink.
Just some breaking news, guys.
Sum it up, Ted. Go ahead.
I was like, Couture says he's not coming back this year. Sheng Peng just tweeted that out. So that's one thing. I mean, I had hoped he was coming back just for his own mental sake, just know that he could do it. But he says he's done for the year. I mean, I think that was, to some of us, a foregone conclusion. But now we know that for sure.
Well, and I think the next sentence is, I hope he's coming back.
Yeah.
Because Logan has already talked about this injury giving him cause to question whether or not he'd be able to continue his career. So maybe by taking this lengthy layoff that is now going to occur between now and whenever he's able to try playing again, we'll fix what's wrong with him. But just to sum up the rest of the way here, the Sharks are going to play loose. There's no pressure, right? And there's guys playing for contracts. and all of that. And the games are going to get tough as teams are jockeying for playoff position and locking down to start the Stanley Cup playoffs. So there's going to be bright spots, and maybe somebody will come to us from the Barracuda at some point this season, or a college player will join late and make a splash, and there'll be excitement there. But I think in all reality, there's going to be more pain here in these last 20 games. And on that side, I would also say, on a day like today, when us as broadcasters and Sharks fans see one of the big pieces of the glory years gone, another one, it's a very sad day, and it's the most painful day for some fans of the entire season. And as painful as it gets from now on, it probably won't be as bad as today.
Yeah, I mean, the fun must be always aspect of Tomáš Hertl. The joy that he exhibited, I think, had a great effect on the fan base, just as the workmanlike factor of a Patrick Marleau, the fun-loving nature of a Jumbo, you know, just the leadership of a guy like Pabs. These guys we've all seen leave the team, they all had their own unique aspect. But I do think amidst all those guys, Tomáš Hertl, in terms of bringing fans from across the aisle who weren't necessarily hockey fans, maybe had the ability to do that better than any of the rest of them, just because his personality was so infectious to anybody who likes sports and even to people who weren't necessarily sports fans.
Well, and the other thing you have to do is just to count the blessings that we had with Tomáš Hertl, that wonderful four-goal game, the double overtime goal in Game 6 against Vegas that made Game 7 and all those heroics from Barkley Goodrow possible. And also let's take solace in the fact that the Sharks don't play Vegas anymore this year. If he is able to come back, we'll be able to approach that in a way that we celebrate Tomáš Hertl's return rather than lament it, that the fact that he's gone. So I think that that's probably a positive too.
Best interview that I could never understand, without a doubt. I mean, he would talk so fast
and so long,
and so long, and then you'd be like, "Thanks, Tomáš," and then you'd walk away. And he was always so upbeat. He was always so energetic, and That was something to lie. And what I appreciated about him this season especially is that I don't think he's a natural leader, guys. I think he really had to work on that. With Logan out and the team looking for something, somebody to help guide them. And Eddie, you could probably talk about it better than me. The importance of being able to step into that role, even though it's uncomfortable for you. And what Tomáš did to start the year off to when he got injured, I thought it was fabulous.
Yeah, you know, I had to have a talk with Tomáš at the start of the year. I think we were in Nashville. It was that first road trip of the season, and you know, had a great conversation with him about that leadership part, Drew, and knowing that he's now the guy that you know, Logan was out of the lineup, all of his former best buddies there that they had all the success with were no longer in that locker room, and now it really came down to him, and players are going to be looking to him whether he likes it or not. That he has to really keep his chin held high no matter what happens. And I think the only perspective I lent to him was the idea of when you get away from the game like I am today and you look back at the days you had when you were in difficult situations like where he was in at the time and this season has been, is you learn as much about your leadership and about being a teammate, a good one, in moments like this. And I wanted to lend that perspective to him because these are when the years that challenge you to understand what does it look like to be a good teammate? Because it's easy to be a good teammate when things are going well, when you have a winning team and a winning organization. But when you have seasons like this, where they're very difficult, how do you act towards your teammates? How do you show them how to lead on a daily basis? And just being an ultimate professional out there, I think he really switched from moving forward throughout the course of the season. I think he got better at it, Drew. And I think he really looked at that as a way where he could become an even better teammate, which I thought he was terrific all season long.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this. Who fills that void now? Next, we just talked about the end of the season. From now till the end of the season, and then next season we'll start. Who do we look at from a Sharks point of view? Who's going to step into that void?
I mean, David Quinn gave a bit of a clue to that when he said he talked to Sturm and Ferraro. And I think that those two guys, different types of personalities, different approaches. Drew Remenda is the president of the Nico Sturm fan club. And I might be the vice president because of the way that he prepares and is such a professional. I think that he teaches the professionalism part of it. And I think that Mario Ferraro teaches the joviality and the love for the game part of it that also needs to be there in any professional atmosphere. So those are two clues, but there are going to be some more guys that suddenly bubble to the surface. And that's going to be part of the fun of the rest of the year for us to see who develops into some of those roles.
The other moves that were made, Anthony Duclair, he was traded last night before the game. Kaapo Kähkönen, he got moved. Obviously, Nikita Ohochuk, which was one. I was enjoying his development just to watch what he could potentially become. These are also, I mean, they've been a little bit swept under the rug because the Hurdle one was such a big move for the day. But, you know, it's multiple guys that are now not going to be a part of that dressing room. And then another one, Radim Šimek, getting traded. He had recently been named the captain of the Barracuda. Obviously, his career got derailed a little bit by injury, but he was a guy who I always appreciated his professionalism and his overall drive on the ice, even when he was dealing with some issues. And I know he had, like I said, the injuries were a factor, but he went down to the Barracuda and clearly gave it his all there and was named captain. That doesn't happen by accident.
I'm happy for him because I think he'll get a chance to play. He was exactly like you said for the Barracuda. He was leading. He was great in the room talking to Johnny McCarthy about him. They couldn't say enough good things about him. The guy's got a great attitude, got a smile on his face. He's not like Tomáš where it's that outward, but the guy is enthused. He was enthused about coming to the rink every day. I Brett, you again, I'll send it to you. I mean, playing hockey for a living, that's not a bad way to live a life. And he embraced it. Didn't matter what rink he was coming to.
I just love what, you know, he did this season, Drew, and I'm glad you gave us a lot of insight, you know, covering the Barracuda lot this season with Šimek and how he had gone down and taken that role and with pride and walked into that locker room with a good attitude and showed that he wanted to kind of, you know, get another chance at the NHL. But, you know, he knew he was there. He was going to make the most of it. And I think that speaks volumes about your attitude. I've always said that, you know, when a player is moping and pouting and, you know, tripping on their lower lip, feeling sorry for themselves, and they get tapped on the shoulder at that moment where they need to be put into a lineup because somebody got hurt or whatever the situation is, 100 out of 100 men I've seen fail because they were pouting and tripping on their lower lip, where you have a great attitude about where you are, trying to make the most of it and trying to be a good teammate. First of all, when you get tapped on the shoulder, you come in, you have success 100 out of 100 times. So love the fact that Šimek's going to get another opportunity somewhere. This might be what he needs to kind of regain a lot of that confidence that he lost from some of the injuries he had. Boy, think back when he was playing with Brent Burns, how phenomenal he was during that stretch of hockey. I've never seen it was just so fun to watch. And so I'm really hoping he can get back to that form. And then Anthony Duclair, I wish him nothing but the best. We saw really his best hockey here since coming back from the break. We saw a player that could really make an impact. And, you know, who knows? This might be his year to go and win a Stanley Cup.
Big opportunity for Anthony Duclair. And I want to focus on Šimek for a second. Brett, you brought up the injuries and the fact that he's had to recover from that. I think that gave him a different appreciation of the game too. It sometimes happens to you when you recover and you're able to play the game and you kind of really appreciate the opportunities you have. And then now he's going to Detroit where Bob Bugner is there. And Bob Bugner knows what Radim Šimek can do. And so he may very well he may be a role player for the team, but he is going to a place where people really understand who he is and what he's able to do. And so he ought to be really excited about that. As far as Anthony Duclair is concerned, he's going to Tampa. And let's not forget, he went to the Stanley Cup final last year with Florida, and that rivalry between Tampa and Florida is really going to cook up. And I just love to see exactly how Anthony Duclair does if the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning square off in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That would really be something.
Randy, a final thought from you on a momentous day.
I agree with almost everything that I've heard, most of what I said, and I'm really tired. This has gone on really, really long. I'm exhausted.
I have a question. Randy, are you now at the house at the top of the hill?
I am. I'm mid-hill. But I'm working at it. I haven't quit.
When are you going to go up Mount Umanum? Is that where you are?
No, I'm not going out Mount Umanum, but I'm looking over glorious Mount Madonna like a virgin.
Drew, final thought from you today.
It is, I'm going to steal from Brett. It is the pain that the Sharks have to go through to get everything going in the right direction. And it hurts to see such great players leave. But I think we all knew, and most of the fans and all the fans knew, that this was going to be a step. I think what Mike Greer has done, to what he's got in return, has been potentially extraordinary. But that doesn't mean we're going to miss the guys less, because they were very special players for the Sharks. And like Danny said, we should celebrate them.
Hedy, final thought for you.
Oh, man. You know, as a player, as you know, I played in that locker room and played in this league that, yeah, these are tough days. And I think celebrating some of the players, like particularly the Hurdle that's been here for so long, has meant so much to this organization. Absolutely celebrate them. And, you know, I bleed teal. I do now, even though I didn't play for this organization. I through osmosis, meaning through Randy and Dan, who have been part of this fabric of even getting the team here. Randy, particularly you, Dan, with what you put into this organization on a daily basis, that has filtered into me. And being around this organization has really made me bleed teal too now. And it hurts today, but I really look forward to that day when we're singing again and we're playing some great hockey and we have an opportunity to play for a Stanley Cup. And that day that we win a cup here in San Jose, I want to be the guy that holds the cup and lets Randy and Dan drink out of that thing, because it'll be, feel really good to see those guys be able to go through some of these pain days right now to come out the other side. And hopefully we can all celebrate together someday.
Dan, I will let you, the Hall of Famer, close it out.
Well, I don't know if I have a Hall of Fame answer, but I can say this, that that it is painful. And it is sad, but it's also very exciting. And instead of looking back and looking backward, we should be looking ahead and getting excited about what Mike Greer has been able to do so far. It's very obviously well-planned and executed. We're seeing some of the results already. And as Artur Zerbe once told me, every day that goes by is one day closer to the Sharks winning their first Stanley Cup. And I really believe that. And I think that the organization is doing a lot of things to get closer to that and ramp that process up a little bit more quickly. And that's what really we should be focusing on.
Guys, busy day. I'll let you all go. I appreciate your time. And I'll see you at the tank, all right?
See you, boys.
See you later.
See you tomorrow.
Keep it tuned to the Sharks Audio Network for all the latest on all breaking news coming out of Team Teal. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yend.